We got your dull needles right here. Line up.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's October 29th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 143.
This is No Agenda.
Exposing CIA Afghanistan drug running weeks before the New York Times. And coming to you from the minimum security containment cell in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California, I'm Adam Curry.
And the bridge is down here in northern Silicon Valley. It's a mess. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the
morning. Yeah, that thing really is a mess, that bridge.
It's a fiasco.
Yeah, so...
Why don't they just leave the bridge alone and build a whole new span next to it, and they could have two bridges running side by side, and then they could just retrofit the old Oakland cantilever side, and we'd have two bridges, better capacity, and one could be down and the other one would be up. I mean, now there's nothing. We can't get across.
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
I think we can use that jingle a lot in weeks to come. It's really nice and quiet in the city, though. For those of you outside of Gitmo Nation West, we have two pretty important bridges here, the Golden Gate Bridge being one of them, and the Bay Bridge, which wasn't only 2 months ago. It was Labor Day. They closed it off for extensive repairs, so it was shut down.
That's because they broke it.
They broke it again. And I was listening to the radio last night. Because of 50-mile-an-hour winds, two guide spans snapped, actually hit a car, but...
And a truck.
Yeah, but no one was hurt, luckily. And then these things came crashing down, and they closed the bridge immediately and indefinitely, I might point out.
Well, it's supposed to be fixed today.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
It's supposed to be, now they actually have a Twitter feed, which is... They do.
Of course.
Bay Bridge Twitter.
It's the outreach program.
And it doesn't say anything. It just says stuff like, well, I still don't know when we're going to open the bridge. Hey, I need a feed for this.
Thanks for the tweet. So this morning at 6:15, I am jolted out of my bed by a rather large metal on concrete clanging sound. And, of course, the Crackpot Command Center is under threat of eminent domain removal. The government, it's for the funniest thing. Yesterday, the government came by to start to talk to us about doing an assessment of how much money they should give us to get out. Because they have to give us just compensation. And I swear to God, lovely lady, Jamie, she said, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Really? That old cliche?
She actually said it. I'm like, okay. So this construction is going on right across the street, and I have a fantastic view, and I'm actually trying to turn this into something positive for myself, because it is kind of interesting to see how they're going to build the world's largest bus terminal.
Right. And by the way, we have to take a film crew or, a video crew over to the bus terminal that now exists.
Yeah.
Film it. There's nobody there. There's nobody in this bus terminal except a few hobos.
Yeah, no one uses the bus. And so it's like a $10 billion project.
It's for this Transbay buses. For example, you take the bus into San Francisco, it drops you off in the bus terminal, and the first thing everybody does is they scoot out of the buses and they rush over to their job. There's nobody in this terminal. It's a dump.
No. So anyway, but they're also turning this whole area into one big shopping promenade.
And, that's what we need.
Yes, exactly. And so they're bringing down all these historic buildings and beautiful buildings, including ours here, the minimum security containment cell. So anyway, there's construction going on, and that happens. There's a city ordinance. You cannot make construction noise before 7 a.m. or after 8 p.m., 7 days a week, I might add. And so I've been in touch with all the, because basically I just want to be the biggest pain in the ass so they can pay me and get me out quickly, but they're going through their government process. And so it's been happening a couple times where they'd start off at, 6:30, 6:45. And I'm starting to become a squeaky wheel. And this morning when at 6:15, I literally woke up. So I rushed to the window, threw up the sash. And the whole place is like filled with dudes. I'm like, okay, now I'm pissed off. So I have a cell phone number of the lady in charge, Mila Gonzalez, who's in charge of the TJPA project. And so I wake her up. I said, listen to this shit. So what's going on? I said, I'm calling the cops now. And she's like, oh, Mr. Curry, sorry. I'm going to call I'm going to see what's going on. This is wrong. They shouldn't be doing this. I said, yeah, exactly. So I called the cops.
So it's noisy enough you could get it over the cell phone?
Oh, easy. Oh, yeah. And what they're doing is they're drilling holes. And this is a fascinating process to watch. They're drilling holes with these big, you saw the pipes, John, these pipes, which the diameter has to be at least six or seven feet.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to, I guess, pour concrete in or whatever. So you'll have the foundation pillars.
First they got to pound them into the ground.
Well, no, they're not pounding. They're drilling. And this is why I found out about this, because at 6:30, the foreman, Mike, calls me and says, Mr. Curry, you know, I got no beef with this guy, right? He's just doing his job. And I'm getting him on my team, because I'm saying, look, Mike, I'm going to stop your construction. So you want to continue. So just tell these guys to get me out and then we'll be cool with it. But he told me what happened. He said, well, we had an emergency. We got guys here all night monitoring the drill, and we're down 250 feet and the drill got stuck and we're about to lose the drill bit. I'm like, I'm talking to Bruce Willis. He's on the moon. I swear to God, he's drilling in the asteroid. But this is only the first hole they've drilled. And already the drill bits are getting caught and breaking up. And then, of course, Officer Cliff came by, and he said, well, I'll go over there and check it out. Thanks, Officer Cliff. So you would have been proud of me, John. I was all over it. I was a real cranky, get off my lawn, you damn kids bastard this morning.
That's perfect. That's what you have to do to get any attention. But otherwise, it'd be doing it all night. They wouldn't even stop ever.
Right.
Thing that's interesting, but it's interesting if you can kind of at least learn about the process, because generally speaking, I thought they would pile drive, over there.
No, they have a very interesting, and the drill runs all night. I mean, it's literally, it's slowly turning. They've got this very interesting contraption that holds this big pipe in place, and it it pushes it down bit by bit as dirt is coming out. I mean, it's interesting to watch. And I must say, I have a great view. And normally you can't see any of this stuff. You're either too high up or at ground level, it's all fenced off. So I'm literally looking right into what these guys are doing. That is interesting. But
now, does it look like a cheap process?
No. This looks like expensive process.
Let me ask this rhetorical question. With a city that's as broke as San Francisco.
Yeah, tell me about
it. How can they afford this?
Dude, I'm telling you. Even Officer Cliff was surprised. He said, hey, what they doing here? I said, well, they're tearing everything down. Really? All these beautiful buildings? I said, yeah. He said, what are they doing? I said, they're building a big bus terminal. You don't say.
And of course, who knows what it's going to cost to rent, because this bus terminal is also going to be the train station.
Yeah, the high speed. Well, and it's interesting because I reread the Constitution about eminent domain. And I think the whole, because they would say they're going to bring in the high speed rail from Los Angeles. Yeah, right.
Ha.
But the eminent domain, I think it's an amendment in the Constitution. There actually is mention of the government's authority to give that power of eminent domain to railroads. So I'm thinking, they probably thought, hey, this bus terminal idea ain't going to work. Why don't we just say we're going to bring in a railroad so we can be sure the law is on our side?
Oh, that's interesting.
Something like that. Something like that's going on.
No, that sounds right.
Yeah.
They gave the rail. Did you have a date on that amendment? Because that must have been during the era when Southern Pacific basically owned California.
I'd have to look it up. I have it on my G phone.
The novel The Octopus is about all this sort of thing.
The Octopus?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's about eminent
Frank
domain?
Norris. Sorry?
The novel is about eminent domain?
No, well, it's about the railroads running the state and being a corrupt
institution. Well, they were, of course. I mean, you just have to read Atlas Shrugged to know how that works.
Well, if you read some real literature, Frank Norris is the Octopus, you probably would get more out of it in terms of your soul.
Oh, you are such a bad man. So I said it in the opening of the show. Hold on a sec. I need to liquidate myself. Oops. I meant hydrate. The New York Times reported very interesting story that you probably would have heard 6 to 7 weeks ago on this very program. that, the brother of Afghan leader Karzai is said to be paid by the CIA. And of course, John and I did quite an extensive unveiling of Ahmet Wali Karzai. By the way, the New York Times makes no mention whatsoever of his Afghan restaurants in California and in Washington and in Boston. But the New York Times did go a bit further and said, hey, the CIA has this guy on their payroll.
A retainer.
He's on a retainer. And that he's also a drug lord. Yeah, you don't say. And maybe the New York Times is just listening to our show. Who actually wrote this? Dexter Filkins and Mark Mazzetti and James Risen. It was a front page of the New York Times. What I found fascinating was the White House briefing with
our nasal friend, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs.
And I've asked a couple people, John, no one thinks he's coked up. They just think he's got a nasal problem. And so
there's a lot of people that don't recognize that as being coked up.
No.
Run into it a lot of in broadcasting. You have certain announcers that develop that style of
that nasal type of.
Well, this guy. Well, Gibbs is a broadcaster. He thinks he's a disc jockey.
Yeah.
In fact,
well, you'll find that a lot of these guys, when the end is near, when their careers are over, you find that they were coked up.
A lot of them. Well, you know what? It's, particularly if you're doing the morning drive, you know, it's tough. You gotta.
Maybe Gibbs isn't coked up.
Need a couple of lines.
You know, it just seems coked up. Let's put it that way.
How come that didn't work?
In the morning.
It's hard for us.
Sorry.
What was that?
Am I losing you?
I'm going to talk like that from now on.
Okay. So let's listen to the man himself. And now I'm going to crank up the volume pretty loud because something interesting happened at the beginning of this particular White House briefing. This is the one from Wednesday, where it might have been a ringtone, and I'm going to really turn it up loud because it's hard to hear, but there's like this ominous voice going, "The president has all the power," just as he's getting on the podium. And of course, you know, the White House press corps, being the suck-ups that they are all like guffawing and laughing, and Gibbs is cutting a joke. But then they hammer into him about the New York Times article. Yeah.
Before we listen to that, is it possible he's using like a Nokia phone that says the voice of the person calling?
Well, it's not from him.
It's from somebody in the audience?
Someone in the audience. Well, I think it's from someone in the audience. I'm going to turn it up really loud, and you might be able to hear it. Now that I've told you what the sound is, you can probably recognize it. But it's really like an echoey voice that says, "The President of the United States holds all the power," which is kind of freaky, like they're programming the press corps there. Let's listen in here, and let me just get this started. And, of course, with that fantastic wind-up, it won't work.
It dies.
Of course it died. Crap. Hold on. Let me reload it.
Timing.
Yeah, timing. Here it comes.
Good afternoon. I'm going to get slightly more organized here.
Actually, it's "The president is powerful." That's what it says. Did you hear it?
No.
It's really soft. I'll try and play it one more time.
Good afternoon. I'm going to get slightly more organized here.
Oh, yeah. You can barely
hear
it.
It's very, very soft. I'll put the link in the show notes. But then listen to the press corps.
Was that happening just in my head, or did you all hear that too? Wow, that's interesting if inexplicable.
Sometimes I wonder how inexplicable that kind of shit really is.
That was interesting if inexplicable?
Yeah.
What is wrong with that guy?
Well, there's nothing really wrong except for his nose. Let's listen to the first question.
With that voiceover, let's. I apologize for not having an equally grand introduction by which to call on the first reporter.
I'm not sure I can.
Wow, that's
all right. Hammer into this fucker. Question one.
Okay.
So, payments to President Karzai's brother by the CIA. What can you tell us about...
So, payments to President Karzai's brother by the CIA. First question, front page of the New York Times. Not an unimportant topic to discuss, perhaps. What is the answer?
How that, or if that is causing any consternation here in the White House.
I would refer questions about that story to the CIA.
Not true.
The best person to ask that to, or somebody at the CIA.
And what's the reaction here to the attack in Kabul today?
So it's like, ask someone at the CIA. Best person to ask that question is at the CIA.
What a dick.
Total dick. Total. I mean, who does the CIA... This is the White House. Doesn't the CIA report to the Presidente?
And not that, as if this is not, you know...
To the Republic.
The entire press corps should just walk out.
Thank you. That would be really good. Yeah, I wish they would. And, you know, this show, the Robert Gibbs Show, we need a jingle. It's the Robert Gibbs Show in the afternoon. Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Gibbs. It's funny. This thing is about 40 minutes. This program is 40 minutes in length. And you just watch it. And he dodges every question. He denies questions. He skirts around issues. It's like a comedy. I love watching it, and we could just play that for 40 minutes and stop it every 30 seconds and comment on how, you're right, the press corps, they're just a bunch of gullible losers. The only person who is still real there, who does bring it back from time to time, is Helen, who can barely breathe, but she's still fighting for our country, asking the real questions, and she gets laughed off. Continuously gives a well, Helen, I doubt the president would be involved in anything like that. Yes, Chip, you're next. I mean, that's literally how it goes. Yeah,
douche. You're good with that's good. You should, yeah, but we do need a jingle. You're right.
It's not hard to.
What we should do is get the jingle, and then we take one short Gibbs nonsense comment.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and just like a long jingle, short comment. This is Letterman's formula.
Like
the jingle's longer than the bit.
Yeah, like the great moments in great speeches in presidential history.
Yeah. Well, the one he's doing now, of course, is the things more fun than reading Sarah Palin's memoir.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's always something. The latest one was have your head put in a vice. And then they took a clip from it was Goodfellas or Casino or whatever it was where that little the actor who always plays a mean-spirited Italian mobster.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about the little guy.
The little guy.
Joe Pesci is who you're talking about.
Joe Pesci.
The little guy. Yeah.
Well, he's the little guy. He's always small. And anyway, he's squeezing some guy's head and they're showing it. Then the one they had the other day was having your head in a basket filled with angry bees.
You know, and meanwhile, in every single poll, Sarah Palin's like number three on the list to be the presidential nominee for the next election.
It's hilarious.
I don't think she's dumb. You know, media made her dumb. I don't care what you think. You know, just because she's hot or reasonably
she's milfy.
No, not just because it's a plus.
Yeah.
It's a plus. But you know, she's not dumb. She has run a whole state. You know, more than you can say.
Do it for more than 2 years, and she had to quit.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, who's going to put it? I mean, she has quit the job she had. I mean, no one's anyone. Why would anyone think that she's remotely qualified? She's only worked
Excuse me, John. You make the mistake that President Obama is qualified as an actor.
I've never said that.
Fine.
When was that? When did I say that?
As an actor, Sarah Palin is perfectly qualified. She's cute. She can remember her lines and she won't bump into the furniture. She would be a perfect president.
I don't think she's that good of an actress.
We use the form actor, not actress.
Yeah, you actor. And the other actors. I don't think she's that good of an actress.
I think she's pretty good. I think she could do it. You know what? She would need the teleprompter. She's got him beat on that. I'm just saying.
Well, while we're on the topic of actors,
yes, I see your clip. Yes.
Oh well, besides that. Mm, so there's this stuff that we got to look into called atrazine.
Atrazine?
Yeah, atrazine. It's an herbicide made by a company in Switzerland. It's banned in the EU. They can't even use it in the EU, let alone, I don't think, Switzerland.
And why is that?
Corn. Well, for one thing, it demasculinizes frogs, and it gets in the water supply. And now there's theoretical consideration that it's maybe responsible for the demasculinization of men, like the ones who would insist on calling women actors.
I'm too old. It's too late to have affected me. But yeah, your point is well made. There is a lot of concern about actually stuff in the drinking water that.
This is in the drinking water.
Okay, there you go.
And I don't know whether the Brita filter takes it out or not, but it's a concern. And then I decided to look up and they're in bed. They're not owned by. They're a public company. They're not owned by Monsanto.
You should really give me a little warning before.
As soon as I start talking about chemicals, you got to be quick on the draw. Mm-hmm. But they're in bed with them because apparently Monsanto sued them over some corn thing, and then so they sued them back and they won, and then they decided, well, you know, why are we fighting with each other? Let's get together, and so now they've divvied up.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of press releases about this. They've kind of divvied up what they're going to sell to the world corn producers to prevent one thing or another. And so the two of them are now divided we stand, united we whatever.
Yeah, I was watching the Jim McGlair Hour last night. I actually told Mickey, I said, because we're so tired, we can't watch television at all. It's so crappy. And I said, well, let's put PBS on our favorites list here on the Dish Network. And the McNeil Lear, whatever hour comes on. Promotional consideration for the McNeil News Hour brought to you by, and then it comes Chevron, I think. Not BP, but it was Chevron, GE, and then there it was. Monsanto. I'm like, how can I trust any... Oh, we just lost John. Okay. There we go. He's back. Well, that was totally weird. Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, that was weird. Where did you lose me? Hello? John? Oh, maybe I have to... Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. All right, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Where'd you lose me?
What?
Where did you lose me?
I lost you, and there's an easy cut in. You were tuned into McNeil Lair, and then you were about to say, you got cut off right in the middle of promotional considerations.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of promotional.
Right, boom, promotional consideration provided by Chevron, provided by General Electric. We bring good things to life. Ooh. Uh-oh. Now, do you hear the echo?
Yeah, that's cool.
Hold on. No, it's not. 1, 2? Yeah, far from cool. Okay. Provided by Chevron, provided by GE, we bring good things to life, and by... Monsanto. I'm like, how can you trust anything this guy is about to tell me? The whole program is controlled by corporate America, and that's PBS, our jewel, our national treasure.
We got to get that clip back. Yeah. Our national treasure.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is No Agenda. We have a very simple formula, and it seems to be working.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And we got to. Someone's got to do it.
Anyway, the company's name is Syngenta. Syngenta.
Hey, we're done with the Karzai story. I mean, I think I just want to take a little bit of credit for us uncovering... Well, not just uncovering, not really exposing, but bringing it to people's attention.
Yeah. Reality. We deconstructed, and which is the way we deal with the news. We assume everything's got some hidden agenda, and so we try to tear it apart, rejigger it, and then figure out what might be going on. And we tend to be 2 or 3 weeks ahead of the mainstream media because of just that simple process.
In this case, it was 6 or 7 weeks. So when you hear PBS winding up with, and by viewers like you, thank you for your donation, you should be thinking, screw that jabroni, I'm handing $5 to No Agenda. That's what you should be doing.
Right. And yeah, in fact, if you want to, we can like mention a couple of things that did happen this week.
Hey, who's our executive producer?
Indeed. I want to, our executive producer for this week's show is Greg Birch in Port Angeles, Washington.
Hey, your neighbor. Nice.
Yeah, neighbor coughed up.
Okay.
And he wants us to plug openyet.com. He's a dentist,
that?
I believe.
How do you spell that?
Open, OPENYET.
Openyet.com. How much did Greg hand us to become the executive producer?
He gifted us $200.
Wow. Greg, thank you, man. You can now put that on your CV. You were the executive producer of No Agenda, episode 143, and we'll vouch for you.
Open Yet will liberate. Open Yet will save time. I don't know what he's up to.
Hey, I just want to mention that climate change is really hammering the world. You probably saw the record snowfall in Colorado.
You know, the funny thing about climate change in Colorado is I remember 20 years ago, I think I must have talked about this before because I've always been baffled by it. A friend of mine moved to Colorado and he had this, he made this assertion that, you know, I said, isn't it kind of cold and snowy up there? No, it very rarely actually snows in Denver. And it's ever what? Since then, it just snows every year, tons in Denver.
No, you haven't mentioned this, but 15 or 20 years ago, I was in Denver a lot. We actually owned a company there. And I remember that, yeah, it like flurries, but it wouldn't be like huge snowfall. And
yeah,
so
now,
and that's changed.
Yeah, no, because every year now they have a news specials and they show them, even it gets so bad that they have they carry it on national news and they show these, you know, this huge blizzard in Denver and this 3 feet of snow. And this is every year. It's like Denver just gets pounded.
Yeah. Well, that's climate change for you.
Well, climate change.
The science doesn't lie, John. You can't be a climate change denier.
So my son is disappointed in the No Agenda show now.
Oh, crap. Which one?
JC, the smart one. Well, they're both smart. Eric will hear that and go, what?
Yeah, from now on, it'll be the smart one. Okay. All right, what does the smart one have to say? Oh, ye
he says
smart
that
one.
We're just, he says we have an, he says, where's our no agenda? He says, you guys are like always pounding on these same topics. And it's, he says, why don't you talk about, you know, how to thicken gravy or, you know, what's wrong with public transportation or one thing or another that's just kind of all, you know, that we normally
okay.
ramble about.
All right. Well, what the hell? He wants to know about gravy?
Well, no,
there's a whole network. There's a food network. Go watch. Hey, he's the smart one. Go to the food network, Jesse.
I threw out the gravy thing myself, but it was just a lament. So he doesn't listen anymore.
Well, you know what?
My wife, by the way, I think is given up too. I think this is distressing. I think we have more listeners than ever, but you know, but I
well,
don't have
you know
the
what?
Feedback.
Yeah, but the people who are going to die when the world takeover comes, you know, they're going to drop eventually. You know, what can I tell you? It's too much truth for them to handle, John. They want to know about gravy and about public transport. Does that give you a clue?
I'm the one who came up with the gravy thing. He had some other one. I can't think of what it was. The point is that maybe. I don't know. I mean, do we need another? You have, I know, a swine flu minute again. But haven't we pounded the swine flu enough that, you know, Rush Limbaugh's now telling people not to get the vaccine?
Well, I'm not that interested in telling people not to take the vaccine. By the way, Molly Wood and her son, Elijah, they're both sick. After
I thought they had the shot. Didn't
yeah.
they get the shot?
Yeah, no. She got the shot for her kid, and now they're both sick. Go figure.
She got the shot. Wait a minute. By the way, the interesting thing came out with the CDC is essentially bullshitting us concerning the number of swine flu cases. It turns
yes.
out now that
yes, you know, so this is the only thing that's interesting to me. I don't, you know what? Go take the shot. That's the beautiful thing about America is it, as long as they're not mandating it, then I'm fine.
Hold on a second.
You can take the shot.
So Eric is listening in on the stream, right?
Oh, wait, he wasn't. Hey, Eric, you're not allowed to listen. Turn off the stream. You're now for your banned. You're banned.
So he says JC is a communist.
Okay. Well, that's true. But you know what? You're banned. You're not allowed to listen. Don't let me catch you listening. What's his IP address? I'm going to block him. I don't want him. Okay, so here's the only thing that I'm interested in. I mean, when I see Napolitano, what's her name? Margaret, yeah. Janet, whatever her name is. When I see her come on stage with Secretary of Health and Human Services, Sebelius, and she goes first. So here's the Department of Homeland Security, the secretary, the boss of Homeland Security, who comes on first to talk about swine flu. The president has called a national emergency, which he says is a preventative move. And what the hell is that, a national emergency, when there's no national emergency? Their own documents, the CDC released, you know, all these new PDF files, and I'll put them in the show notes. They literally show the past 10 years of influenza, and you'll see that 2003 is way off the charts compared to 2009, 2010. You know, we're not even anywhere near what happened in 2003, and that was just regular seasonal flu. On top of that, the state, you know, the information from the states on the hospitalization and death toll are not even being released by HHS. So when people are saying, oh, 100 kids have already died, there's no proof of that. The documents that came out just this week, just yesterday, show some really interesting things. Did you know, John, that of all the deaths, and all the total number I can count in the U.S. is like 86 total. That includes infants, the 18 to 34, 18 to 15-year-olds, the 50-plus, and the 65-plus, whatever, that the majority are white and Hispanic, and that there's like 3% is African-American? Yeah, I think that's highly interesting shit. They even say it in their own document. This warrants some investigation as to why blacks are not...
dropping like flies.
Are not contracting the H1N1 virus, and why they're not... Well, obviously, there's going to be a less percentage of them dying. And so you get into all of this shit, and I find it enjoyable to do some investigative work, which seems to be very difficult for, the White House press corps or journalists in general. And I come up with a couple of amazing discoveries. The first one, although
if you do say so yourself,
if you don't mind me saying so myself. Of course, we know that adjuvants are being used. The hamburger helper of the vaccine industry is being used in every other country except the United States. So all across Europe, all of the vaccines include adjuvants, the biggest one being GSK, GlaxoSmithKline. They're not Beecham anymore. GlaxoSmithKline. And I'm like, it's interesting because, of course, there's such a movement against adjuvants, and it's been linked to autism. Although thimerosal is in almost, I think, 4 of the 5 vaccines that are being used in the United States, and that is actually illegal in most countries in Europe. You can't put the thimerosal in makeup products or anything else.
Yeah, okay, get to the point.
Okay, so did you know that the vaccines distributed in the United States... It is correct they do not contain an adjuvant. However, they are being administered with so-called adjuvant mixing needles.
What?
Yes. So these are double needles where you grab some vaccine from vial 1 and then you grab some adjuvant from vial 2 and then you... And
that, it's like making epoxy glue.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. And they're being administered with adjuvant mixing needles. What I can't find anywhere except on the GlaxoSmithKline is instructions for administration. Now, if you look at the GlaxoSmithKline website, they actually have a little animation that shows you, okay, first you suck up the vaccine, then you suck up the adjuvant, and they actually have a third one, which is the antigen, and then you administer the shot. It's frightening how big the lie is, because they're literally saying there's no adjuvants in the vaccine. That's actually the truth. But they are administering, I think they are administering by mixing the adjuvant on site. And nowhere am I able to find the instructions for healthcare professionals on how to administer this stuff, except for GlaxoSmithKline. And I don't know how many states are using the GlaxoSmithKline vaccine. So they're mixing it on site and therefore are basically getting around the whole conversation of there being adjuvants in the vaccine itself. And yeah, if you don't mind, I think that's a pretty big fine.
It's the no agenda swine flu minute. So I'm looking at the PDF from the Department of Health in Maryland. And they have it about how to order the H1N1, and they're talking about this adjuvant mixing system, mm-hmm. but I don't see any.
No, of course not.
I don't see any. You probably just like anything else, just stick it in the guy's arm and push.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And all of the 5 milliliter vaccine shots all contain thimerosal. Which, of course, contains mercury. And it's not trace amounts, you know, it's actual measured amounts of mercury. So, but the bottom line, you're right, John. I don't give a shit. Please go ahead, take your shot. I'm paying for it. It's $10 billion that the taxpayers are paying for this bullshit emergency that we have. I'm fine. It's okay. Take my money.
Well, you don't have to be bitter about it. So,
yeah, I
find it interesting that, well, anyway, a couple of interesting things. One of them is that now I wonder about all these reports from Oklahoma and elsewhere about, you know, these.
About the black kid. Exactly. Because there's only 3% of blacks are being admitted to hospitals or dying from H1N1. And it's in their own documents. So, you know, why do they make that kid look the sickest? Statistically, the kid shouldn't even be in the hospital.
Well, they make him look the sickest because apparently the blacks aren't going out rushing to the doctor to get this shot.
There's another article which is too long to get into, and I'm not educated enough in anything, really, but certainly not in the science behind this article, which I do want you to read, John, and I'm going to put it in the show notes at noagendashow.com. And this is the gist of this article is actually the headline is H1N1 swine flu is not a flu at all, and has a whole bunch of real deep research and links to medical articles that this actually is a form of tuberculosis, which, by the way, killed 1.8 million people in the United States last year, tuberculosis, which is also airborne, and that this so-called pandemic, which if you look at the documents, the CDC even calls it flu-like. It's not actually a flu, it's flu-like. And it did come from the pig farming village in the Veracruz Mountains of Mexico. And if it actually is tuberculosis, you don't want to fight that with antivirals. You want to fight it with antibiotics. And this could be the reason why people are dying of respiratory diseases, because that's kind of what tuberculosis does. And it may just be complete that we're complete. It's been completely misdiagnosed. By the way, the CBS piece that we were going to cover today, they did some investigative work, and it turns out that between 87 and 97% of all flu cases that went to the hospital to be checked for H1N1 turned out to be not swine flu.
Yeah, we actually had there's a clip on the blog discussing this, and it's kind of scandalous, to be honest about it. CBS seems to be the network that's kind of backed off of the litany more than the other networks. So, I mean, the guys who are, I'm not getting what NBC's up to. And one of the things I wanted to discuss today was what the kind of propaganda that we're hearing on NBC, specifically your favorite show and mine, the Law and Order series, which is laced with vile propaganda of one sort or another.
Can I just mention one more thing before you continue with that? The meme has changed. The wording has changed. I watched the Sebelius and Napolitano press conference last night. Before you say
the meme, I have to mention something. Sebelius is the most patronizing, horrible person when she talks. She sounds like Carly Fiorina, this kind of snotty style that
she
is.
She does. Ugh. And she's a Bilderberger. Anyway.
Oh, is she now?
I think she is, yeah. So they're doing their little shtick there. There's like 5 journalists in the audience because no one gives a crap anymore. They just want the death number so they can report something big on their headlines. And the meme has now changed from a flu pandemic to an outbreak. It's an outbreak. And you start reading this everywhere. It's outbreak, 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 which I think is meant to recall Dustin Hoffman's movie in your mind.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Outbreak,
absolutely.
Outbreak. Oh, we're all going to die from the outbreak. So it's changed. It's no longer a pandemic. It's an outbreak. And that is not by accident. These people don't use words like this by accident at all. They're very sophisticated. All right. So
In fact, John Stewart, I've started recording the show again because he's actually gotten good again. And he goes after he does a really good job of going after these memes and that keep cropping up. You know, everybody's saying the exact same word in some sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one going on now about Obama. All the right wingers are using the same term, dawdle or dwiffle or something. I can't remember what the word is, but
now I know what you're talking about. It's not dwaddle. I know what you mean. Yeah, I heard it too.
Yeah. And outbreak is a good one. Well, that brings us to the media itself. I mean, the worst part of the media, which is the people who produce dramas, and NBC, of course. You know, somebody, one of the right wing talkers, pointed this out, that the only, you know, they have a czar now for pay cuts and all
it's even worse than that. He's the pay master.
Yeah, the paymaster.
I mean, if we're not slaves to the paymaster, who, by the way, is the same guy that forced the 9/11 families who were victims, whose family members died, forced them to take the payment and then forever shut up and never litigate against the government. That's the paymaster. This Feinberg.
Is it the same guy?
Kenneth Feinberg, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a totally evil dude. He set up this fund. He said, "Oh, okay, so you can get restitution. Well, if your family member died in 9/11, you can get a part of the money, but you have to sign this document that says you never ever can sue the government or litigate at all ever again." That's the same guy, the paymaster. Yes, massa. Yes, massa. I'll take your money and shut up, massa.
So the one guy that's noticeably missing in action in terms of like having his pay cut or even questioned is Imhult of General Electric, because apparently General Electric with MSNBC and all the pro-Obama support is off
immune.
Limits.
He's immune, even though GE Capital got a huge bailout, didn't they?
Yeah, they got a second one. As far as I know, they got two. Yeah, he shouldn't be immune because they got money from the government. But no, he's making millions because he plays the game. He's on NBC telling it like it is. And by the way, Eric did come up with the words dithering is
dithering,
the meme.
Right. Turn off your radio, Eric. Oh, no, wait. Eric is the good son, right?
He's a good son.
he
contributes to the show.
We have the smart son and the good son. Hi, Eric. I'm sorry. It's a slip of the tongue.
He's at least he programs.
Yeah,
that's a plus.
All right, do we have a clip to play here, or you got a whole bunch of clips?
He stayed out of jail. That's the key to success.
That's a good kid right there. As opposed to the smart one. The smart one's been in the slammer.
No, nobody goes to jail in our family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already in trouble with Eric now. He's going to probably poison the pudding. So anyway, let's see. Well, let me look at these clips. Oh, first of all, there's a couple of interesting clips that are a little off topic. We should get into before I get into the NBC clips, where Imhult or whatever his name is.
Jeffrey Immelt. Yeah.
Well, let's play those. There's a bunch of Law and Order clips. For some reason, they've decided to go after Roe versus Wade.
Oh, well, that's next, of course. Abortion is always a fun one to distract the country while the bankers steal your money.
Yeah, well, they've done a really good job here. Let me take there's a bunch of LOA clips there, they say.
Yep.
Let me go to the mailbox and look at the...
I've got Roe versus Wade, abortion description, and Connie and Roe v. Wade.
Okay, start with the first one.
Okay, Roe versus Wade.
Half the jury was in tears. That doesn't mean they'll acquit. You're deceiving yourself, Jeff.
Oh, I love this actor is great. You're deceiving yourself.
This acting.
All it takes is one vote to hang this jury and the next and the next.
We're not offering Grogan a plea bargain.
Manslaughter's a reasonable compromise.
For the cold-blooded murder of a doctor performing legal procedures.
Substitute slavery for abortion. John Brown for Wayne Grogan. In its day, Roe v. Wade conformed to what we knew then about human life and science. Contraception was limited. Most birth defects were untreatable. 35 years later, birth defects can be corrected. Disabled children are protected by a Bill of Rights. Contraception of every kind is available.
Yet people who don't want to still get pregnant.
And so their rights should reign supreme? My God! Cats and dogs have more rights than the unborn.
No agenda there, huh?
Oh, brother. Well, it just gets worse. Okay. So besides that piece of propaganda, which is just so blatant, it's not funny. I mean, it's got nothing to do with moving the story forward. It's at all.
No, he's actually reading a fact sheet, you know, some fact sheet from the anti-abortion movement.
Yeah, now here's the next one, which is, okay, well, if that didn't get you, that's the logical part. Let's go to the emotional part,
we're not going to talk about how an abortion is done, is it?
Well, then in this one case, because they have this guy, there's a reason that they're trying, just play abortion description, yeah. And this will get...
Right. After Miss Doe was in the stirrups, I started...
Already I'm done. In the stirrups, nice. That's not what they're called, by the way. There's an official name for it.
IV Valium, and Dr. Benning inserted the ultrasound probe. The next step was to inject potassium chloride into the fetus's heart to induce cardiac arrest.
Did something go wrong?
The injection was off target. The patient moved, and the needle went into the uterus. The patient started to go into labor.
What did Dr. Benning do?
There was nothing he could do. The mother was having contractions. The baby was born alive. Dr. Benning held him in his hands. The boy was crying a little cry, moving his arms and legs. Dr. Benning asked the mother if she wanted him to complete the procedure, and she said, yes, finish it.
What happened next?
Dr. Benning cut the umbilical cord. Then he took the surgical scissors and inserted it into the base of the baby's skull. The room went silent.
And by the way, this is true. This actually does happen, although not usually in an accident. But the way that many doctors get around the legality of a post-birth abortion is they will actually... I'm sorry to gross you out, but I have done some research into this. They will hold the head of the child against the woman's vagina, or keep the legs in, or some shit like that, and so it hasn't been completely born. And then what she says about the scissors, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Well, I'm not saying any of this isn't true, but this is not what's going on constantly.
No.
And it why is this on? This is gruesome material to be putting on TV. Period.
Well, it's to forward an agenda, which, right or wrong, is irrelevant. But just so you know, you're being programmed, people. You're being programmed.
So here we go with the last one, Connie, who is the female attorney in the Law and Order. This is the regular Law and Order, by the way. This is not the Special Victims Unit or any of the weird Law and Orders that are...
It's the real one. It's the real deal.
This is they save their best for this show. So I'm wondering exactly how, I'm not sure what the agenda is here, because it seems that the liberals who are in power don't want to. They would rather keep Roe versus Wade because that's their base. So why is NBC having extreme anti-Roe versus Wade stuff? If all of a sudden Jeffrey Immelt's salary gets cut, this show is the reason. They'll play Connie in Roe versus Wade.
It was up to the judge to disallow it.
Now it's up to us to convince the jury to ignore it. I mean, you, of all people, Connie, I thought you wanted to win this case.
I grew up thinking Roe v. Wade was gospel and that a woman's privacy was inviolate. But after hearing that woman on the stand talk about her baby, crying in her arms.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where my privacy ends and another being's dignity begins.
This almost sounds like a religious agenda somehow.
Yeah, no, it's a very religious agenda, but I'm wondering what it's doing on Law and Order. It just kind of mystified me. You could...
I'm sorry. That was an actual clip from the abortion.
So, oh, very, very funny.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. So anyway, so there's something weird going on at NBC that they would run this show.
Well, the Sparky J says in the in our noagendachat.com chat room that there may be some big abortion issue coming up, and that this is some pre-programming for the masses. And by the way, these shows are top of the list. All of them. NCIS?
NCIS, it doesn't have as much propaganda in it as CIS does. The CIS series has lots of propaganda. But the CBS propaganda is slightly different than the NBC propaganda. And the ABC propaganda, again, is they have their agenda too. And it's kind of interesting to try to figure out where these are headed. This one here had me kind of mystified because it's extreme. I mean, it's a 1-2-3 punch for, people who are pro-life. And I'm sure they were cheering. Maybe they're just trying to get a bigger audience. I'm not sure. But this doesn't fit in with the Obama agenda.
No. Well, there's...
Unless there's another shoe to drop and there's something we don't know that's going on. Because, it should. Everything on NBC should fit in with the Obama agenda. NBC is the Obama mouthpiece.
The Obama network.
So I have no idea.
Huh.
Now, another story that came out that I want to run real quick. There's two clips here. One's called Flash Photography, and I think the other one is Flash Photography followed by Drugs in Flat. But just play this first. There's a woman, a very famous singer in Japan, and we could use some Japanese donors, by the way. A famous actress, singer, or just mostly a singer, who got busted for some sort of drugs. And so the BBC was running this report. But listen to this first Flash Photography thing. I have to ask you a question.
He has pleaded guilty to using and possessing illegal drugs. Well, the case has gripped Japan since August when she went on the run after her husband was arrested. From Tokyo, Roland Burke reports. His report contains some flash photography.
So they say.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, and so they have a lot of flash. Does the BBC require to warn people in case they have an epileptic fit?
Yes. Yeah. This has been happening for a couple of years. Whenever there is a program that can have flashing lights or flash photography, it's always mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast. Always, even with Big Brother. So when they had the Big Brother live shows and they have all these Very lights and all the strobes going off outside, and that's Channel 4, I believe, in the UK, they'll say, now we switch over live to the Big Brother house. Warning, this program contains flashing lights.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, let's just play the second clip in this, which talks about this woman getting busted, because there's a piece of information in here that, for one thing, they play it weird. It's very propagandistic in the way they do it. And then when you start actually paying attention to it, you realize how idiotic this whole process is.
Okay, this is Drugs in Flat?
Yeah.
And this is a woman they'd all come to see, Noriko Sakai, famous since the 1980s as a singer and actress. She's already apologized publicly after police found 0.008 grams of what's been described as a stimulant drug in her flat.
Hmm.
They found
0.008 grams.
No, it's 0.008. grams, which of course is a misuse of the term gram, because it's not a gram or multiple grams, although you hear 8 grams, which sounds like a reasonable amount.
It's like, but milligrams.
What he said was 0.008 grams, which is actually 0.001 of a gram.
It's a milligram. It's less than it's fractions
8
of
milligrams.
Grams. 8 milligrams. Yeah.
I calculated 8 milligrams, and it's exactly the same as 24 grains of salt.
So that's like a trace amount.
It's not even a trace amount. I don't think you can do a test on that small
amount.
But what
is the drug?
They said it was some sort of a stimulant. It was probably Coke. But it could have been anything. But what difference does it make with only 24 single little bitty crystals of salt-sized sample. I mean, that's not enough of a sample to tell anything. It's to take a wild guess on some spectrometer.
Yeah, by the way, there's 25 milligrams of thimerosal in the flu vaccine, which is more than they found in this woman's flat. Yet, thimerosal and the mercury in the vaccines is considered a trace amount.
Yeah, there you go. And that's like 25 versus 8.
Yeah.
And that's a trace amount, because 8 is a hyper trace. So this whole thing, I don't know what's going on in Japan with this woman, but they've arrested her over with these 24 grains of salt, and now she's a big scandal. She's apologizing. She's bowing a lot. And the whole thing is like, is the Japanese that screwed up? And does anybody notice this .8?
No. First of all, well, in Europe or in the UK, you know, they do understand some of the metric system, but even there they use stone, you know, for weights, like stone. So now no one fucking knows what it means, dude. No one's doing the math. No one's doing the calculations. I mean, we just did it for you. The trace amount in the vaccine considered to be a trace amount is 25 milligrams. Oh, that's hard. That's hardly anything in there. It's just a trace amount. Yet .008. .008 is considered to be a big deal. So, yeah, it's
a scandal.
It's a scandal. Hey, I was reading my copy of the Federal Register, as I do often.
Oh, God.
And
some light reading.
Some very light reading. And I discovered a very interesting entry for September 29th, 2009. The President of the United States, I'll see if I can, here it is. I want to find the actual wording. I wrote it down, of course. By virtue of the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, including Section 301 of Title III, United States Code, I hereby delegate to you the functions of the president under Section 1512 of the National Defense Authorization Act for the fiscal year 1999. In the performance of your responsibility under this memorandum, you shall consult, as appropriate, the heads of other executive departments and agencies. You are authorized and directed to publish this determination in the Federal Register. So what was this about? First of all, you have to understand what Section 1512 is. 1512 is the president's power. The president shall certify to the Congress at least 15 days in advance of any export to the People's Republic of China of missile equipment or technology as determined in Section 74 of the Arms Export Control Act. So essentially, the president gave up his power of this rather important function, namely what kind of missile technology we export or give to the People's Republic of China, and he gave it to his Secretary of Commerce, who happens to be the first Chinese American ever in an administration. And I find that
this was Clinton?
No, this is Obama.
No, you said 1999.
No, the act is from 1999. This was signed last month.
Oh,
by our president. And
the president gave up his presidency for 10 minutes so he can give it to the Secretary of Commerce so he could send some missile stuff to China.
Yes, to China. And of course, this is Gary Locke, who actually was a big Clinton guy. And he is the new Secretary of Commerce, the first Chinese-American ever to hold a U.S. Governor's office. He is a former top Chinese lobbyist. I thought we weren't supposed to have any of those in the administration.
Especially at that level.
And he was the Clintons got a lot of money and support from China. He was kind of the pass-through, the conduit from Chinese communist leader Hu Jintao. During the Clinton administration. So I think this is concerning that the president has given up the actual power of informing Congress about what kind of missile technology we're sending over to China.
You know, the only paper that I can find covering this, well, the Washington Times ran a story, the Washington Times, is the Asia Times. There's a bunch of stuff about it.
Which we don't read a lot here in the United States.
I find it, I don't see I don't see it sitting around the airport.
No, it's not usually on my newsstand. And, you know, meanwhile,
the U.S. Department of Commerce officials made an attempt to contradict this claim, kind of what you said was the claim, in the same story by asserting that the shift will not cause controls to be loosened in regards to the export of missile and space technology.
I see that as a shift when the president actually writes, I hereby give up my presidential power to you, to export United States missile and space launch technology.
The U.S. Department of Commerce is blamed for mishandling a series of sensitive technology transfers in the late 1990s, which when that thing came up was in 99, and Clinton was always blamed for this, that resulted in China's deployment of a more accurate and reliable long-range missile.
Right. And now we're just like, all right, let's give it to the guys. Here you go, China. I thought China was supposed to be the bad guys. I thought that, you know... Or is this a quid pro quo for them to hold on to our dollars so that they don't sink the dollar? Yeah, well, it's got to be something like that. And thank you, Wall Street Journal, thank you, New York Times, for not reporting on this. I think this is huge. And all you got to do is pick up the Federal Register.
Well, the Asia Times thinks it's huge.
Well, of course. They're like, hey, dude, we just got their space technology. Cool.
Well, I think the Chinese paper. This is one of these papers that I think is critical. It's like the South China Post.
Right.
I think.
So, all right. I'd expect people at the New York Times to be reading this stuff.
Ah. There's too much drinking to do. You're in New York, for God's sake. There's plenty of other things to do besides read the... But the only reason you read is because you're bored stiff in San Francisco.
No, the reason I do this is because this is what we do on this show. We go that one step further, and it's a media assassination. That's what we call it. And this is a fine time to say, we need your assistance because we'd like to do more of this. I mean, I'm doing this, you know, there's actually a meeting going on as we speak on Sand Hill Road with some of our investors. And it's not an unimportant meeting. None of our meetings with the investors are unimportant. And I am not at that meeting because I said, no, I'm sorry. I have to do the work. I have to do No Agenda. I have to do this show. So whether I get fired for not showing up or whether you just want another, you know, if you want more of this, if you want us to really be able to be effective and concentrate on this full time and not doing it during off hours, the middle of the night, or, you know, when I get awakened by Gitmo Nation at 6:15 and decide, well, I might as well take advantage of that time instead of sleeping some more, then you can help us out by donating to this program. And we need a couple more nights. But really, if we could get every single one of our listeners who are within the sound of my voice to just give us $5 a year, we'd be set. But we've got like a couple thousand people who have donated. They keep donating. They're staunch supporters. They keep coming at us. Would you rather hear promotional consideration for this program brought to you by... Is that what you want to hear? Would we be more trustworthy if you heard that at the beginning of the show? Or would you rather hear that a producer who listens to the show is an executive producer because he donated the most money? I think the choice is pretty simple.
Yeah, and I think that people that give to PBS are making a mistake. They should be giving it to us. So let's go over some of the people that did contribute since last week.
Please.
We have a lot of international contribution this week for some reason, including a couple of people from Germany, which I think is a good sign. But let's start with one from the Netherlands, because you're going to have to help me pronounce a $75 donation from, it's spelled M-A-A-I-K-E.
Micah.
Is it Micah? Is that Micah. a male or a female name?
That's typically a female name.
I'm sorry, what?
Typically female. Micah. M-A-A-I-K-E. Oh,
wait, let me put a number down. That's number 19, I think.
Micah, yeah.
Number 19. Micah, and the last name is Boelsma. B-O-E-L-S-M-A.
Boelsma. Micah Boelsma. Micah Boelsma. Yeah. That's nice.
In Vianen.
Vianen.
Vianen, I'll never get it. Everything is wrong. Vianen. But this, by the way, if you go to Portugal, people who can speak a little Spanish, you'll find it's really frustrating.
And
$75.
We're thanking Micah. I'd just like to say many reports from Gitmo Nation Lowlands, the Netherlands. Of course, they're rolling out the flu vaccine as well. They made a small mistake and ordered 2 shots for everyone. Oops, turns out you only need 1 shot. So their minister of health is, you know, trying to figure out whatever he can do with the excess shots. You know, he's like even saying, oh, we can give it to kids under 6 months now. He's just trying to get rid of the supply that he bought.
But I'm wondering if these shots are just water.
But the needles that they have over there are actually dull. And people are complaining that the needles that are supplied are hurting their arms because they have some kind of weird protective layer that gets pushed up when you jam it into the vaccine vial. And this, you know, and God knows, you know, maybe they're doing more adjuvant mixing over there. I have no idea. But anyway, we got our eye on you.
We got your dull needles right here. Line up.
Yeah.
Okay, another $75 comes from Robert Alter in Kansas City, but not Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
Greg Birch, we already mentioned, is our executive producer today from Port Angeles, Washington, $200. Now, he's going to become a knight, so it's going to start showing up again. John Matthews, of course, has been doing this knighthood, this self-accounting knighthood thing.
Is it 7777 again?
No, that's not the 7777 guy. Oh. In fact, we didn't hear from him. We have to. I think he's got one more to do, but it didn't come in this week. No, John Matthews was 150. And then from Trinidad, man.
Yes.
Unbelievable. A place I've always wanted to visit, by the way. And the guy gave us 143, and he just wants to be known as Yabil.
Okay, Yabil.
And he has a website or something with Yabil, which is Yabil, I guess. The DUI-help people gave us another $50.
Thank you.
That's DUI-help.com.
So do they help when you've been convicted of a DUI that helps you get your license back?
I believe they're kind of reverse ambulance chasers.
Excellent. We'll promote anyone. We don't give a shit.
You know, at least as the donors. Randy Asher from Pittsburgh, California, donated $77.76.
Ah.
He wanted to not interrupt the other person, our friend. Thomas Scholes from Stuttgart.
Guten Tag, mein Freund aus Stuttgart.
Stuttgart, a town I've always wanted to visit, actually. It's $55.
Okay, so we never have to joke about wanting our bike back now.
Barry Wilson, B-A-R-R-I-E, which indicates to me, I think, a female, generally, from Lofts Harbor, New South Wales in Australia, and I think she did write us a note. That puts it at 20.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you got to mark it down 20 now. 20
yeah,
females.
Yeah, now we're up to the big numbers.
Let's call them females.
The females.
The females.
We have 20.
We need at least one or two she-males, and then we have the trifecta.
We probably do, but they won't admit it. Daniel Rudolph, $100, and he's from Dresden.
Dresden.
Pronounced Dresden in the USA. Mm. Benny Glazer, G-L-E-Z-E-R, B-E-N-I, gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. $123.45.
Oh, excellent. Love that. Thank you, Benny.
And he's in Basel, Switzerland.
Basel.
Basel. That's right, Basel.
Pronounced Basel.
Basel. Switzerland is, except for this one company that we talked about earlier, is pretty nice. If you want to, if people out there want to.
Switzerland is beautiful.
If people want to travel to like a Disneyland country, go to Switzerland. It's quite picturesque.
Go to Montreux. You've been to Montreux, haven't you, John?
I've probably been through Montreux. I've been through most of Switzerland.
It's where Smoke on the Water was written by Deep Purple.
Fascinating.
Yes. A little bit of pop trivia for everybody here.
And
it's Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Yeah, everybody.
In the morning.
Sorry.
And finally, our last donor this week is Dane, D-A-Y-N-E, Morris, in Chicago. He gave us $50.
Cool.
So we're getting our money from Chicago. So people should go to noagendashow.com or dvorak.org/NA, and we do appreciate these contributions. And we also appreciate all the people that give us less than $50. And, you know, we get 20 and 10. And somebody made an interesting suggestion. He sent us $5.13 or something weird. He said, this is what I had in my PayPal account. If you just tell people just to get all that excess money out of their PayPal account that they're not using.
Dump your PayPal cash on us.
Just dump it to us and close the account.
Noagendashow.com or dvorak.org/NA. And it's stories like this next one that we really try to uncover and you won't hear about anywhere else. The General Accounting Office. I did blog this earlier in the week. commissioned a, well, they did a study, I don't know if they commissioned it, but they did a study involving Homeland Security. And the study basically results in some pretty frightening thoughts. Should, remember we were talking, John, about what happens if, you know, or the possibility of the banks closing because of the swine flu. So now this has been taken one step further. Remember now, bear in mind, the president has powers given to him by, I think, himself, that he can take control of the internet in case of a national emergency. So what this whole study did is it said to the Department of Homeland Security, hey, what happens if lots of people in the financial industry, thank you, darling, if lots of people in the financial industry are homesick with the swine flu and have to continue their very important work from home over the internet, that could congest the internet. Certainly the local loops of the few providers we have in the United States.
Yeah, and because if they're at home on the internet, that's going to congest the internet. But if they're at the work in their office on the internet, that's not going to have any effect.
Well, typically, you know, they have a different type of access. So the only access they have would be one or two steps removed from their office access. You know, they got some pretty sophisticated networks, particularly for that flash trading, the high velocity trading a lot of these jabronis are doing. But Department of Homeland Security said, well, you know what? It just may be, it may have to be that we'll have to jump in there. And if a lot of people are sick with the swine flu, we're going to have to force the ISPs to block certain traffic so this important trading can continue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Where'd you get that?
From the General Accounting Office.
Oh.
The GAO.
And, well, this is why you didn't read about this in the New York Times, huh?
No, no. An expectation of unlimited internet access during a pandemic is not realistic, according to Gerald Levine of the Department of Homeland Security. And I'm looking here at this report. It's a big PDF, but you know it'll be in the show notes, of course. Oh, by the way, in this where I found this, the actual PDF had moved a couple times. So this shit is being hidden all the time. They're trying to move this stuff around so that they're still
reporting.
Wait,
that's not possible. We're transparent here.
Yeah,
transparent.
Yeah, we're so transparent. Private internet providers might need government authorization to block popular websites or reduce residential transmission speeds to make way for commerce.
Yeah, like I don't get enough blocking of the Dvorak Uncensored site from one ISP or another. By the way, I want to remind people out there, and you too, when you see something like this as a PDF, don't just save the link.
No, save the PDF. You've got to save
the PDF. Save the PDF. Save whatever page. You see a weird page with some weird stuff on it? Don't save the link. Save it. Save as web page as.
Yes. And of course, I'm sorry,
they're saying this stuff does disappear.
And, of course, sad news of Jeffrey Pinkhauer, who benefited to the tune of about $7 billion from the Madoff scandal. He forgot how to swim in his own pool. He got two to the head in a new fashion way. He drowned in his own pool, which is, I really love that. That's, you know, I feel bad for the guy and his family and everything. But this is a key witness in the entire Madoff scandal. And of course this significantly slows down the unwinding of the Ponzi scheme because they can't get this guy to testify anymore. But the question was he in on the scam? Let me think. $7 billion. Yes, of course he was in on the scam, and he was, they said he had a heart attack while swimming. Yeah. Okay. It's the new version of two to the head.
Well, you know, the heart attack thing, the induced heart attacks with can be done. I mean, cyanide is quickly metabolizing it and gives you that look and feel, heart attack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, talking about real news.
You know, I haven't used that in so long, don't even know where the button is.
And now, back to real news.
So I'm watching America Can Dance or How to Dance. Do You Want to Dance?
Wait, one of these. Were you watching in your underwear?
Yes.
With your hand in your shorts? Drinking a warm milk?
No, beer.
Uh-huh.
A stale Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the image you want.
Yeah.
So,
hold on. I'm just enjoying the visual. Okay.
So I'm watching. It's one of these shows. I can't remember. I only saw the end of it. But I was watching the ending. And I remember the time we did the No Agenda where we had the porn awards and every nomination was like a million people. So yeah. It was, you know, they just would name person after person after person. It was like, and people would sit, I guess you just sit there mesmerized by these long lists of
they
people.
They were on the other night, the adult video.
Oh, I missed
awards.
Them.
Yeah. We watched for like 10 minutes. It was amazing.
Was Stoya on? Our friend.
Who?
So anyway,
no.
Well, that's too bad. No. So anyway, so I'm watching the end of the show when they're going to say who's going to be on next week, and this is the clip which I adequately named Cripes. Just listen to this.
Wonderful. Well done, guys. Tonight you've seen the talent that got them here to Hollywood. Tomorrow night these dancers compete for real, and here they are: Uli, Victor, Bianca, Russell, Eleanor, Channing, Kevin, Legacy, Catherine, Nathan, Molly, Billy, Aaron, Peter, Ariana, Ryan, Philip, Jacob, Noel, tomorrow night.
How many people do this? Shorten the show. What do we need? Like, is this show like 2 hours long because they have these lists of people? Who cares?
Well, let me tell you the format of these shows. Here's what they do. They look at, so this is a, this, these shows are so fluid. They look at the ratings, and if the ratings are rocking, they will bring in all kinds of stuff like wild card contestants and, you know, secret celebrity contestants, anything to get an extra show out of it. They sometimes go from the typical 13 episodes in one series, they'll go to 26 just because the ratings are so rocking and people are so hypnotized by the crap. If it's working, it's working. You know, this is beautiful. This is the cheapest form of entertainment you can make, and it works. I like it. We should be doing some of that ourselves.
Well, we may be making a lot more money.
That's for sure.
But, you know, Dvorak.org/NA, that's kind of the reminder to put the plug in.
Why don't I, you know, one of our producers went through a lot of effort to try and put together an ad for us. And even though it's not quite what he wanted or what we wanted, I just want to play it because it's one of those left-right stereo thingies.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, we should play this, and maybe it'll help.
If you're highly intelligent, you're sick of the mainstream media digesting the news and feeding you a schlep. You've come to appreciate commercial-free commentary from John C. Dvorak. If you get your news from CNN, you know that their biggest sponsors are banking pharmaceutical companies. If you're looking for lies, where are you supposed to go?
The formula is this.
MSNBC are not allowed to tell you the truth. That's why I financially support No Agenda with regular donations at Dvorak.org/NNA. Join a growing number of No Agenda Buzzkill fans in donating at Dvorak.org/NNA. Tell a friend. Donate. Do your part in keeping this team together. Join us in supporting commercial-free enlightening programming.
Right. You are now programmed.
Well, that'll be great when we run that. We'll run that on the stream every so often.
Yeah, I'll program
it. It's a little long. What's the time on that? What's that time out at?
Let me see. I think it's like 48 seconds. Yeah, it's
that's too long. I think those things have to time out at 30.
Yeah. Gosh, John, we should really start wrapping this up. There's a couple things, you know, we don't have to go into them too deeply, but farmers are up in arms because milk prices plunged 50%. And I was wondering why. You look at the USA Today article and you're like, you know, it doesn't really say. But then if you look back a couple days, it turns out we lifted all of the import duties on milk and milk products from Israel. Duh.
We're bringing milk in from Israel.
Yes, we're screwing our farmers.
We haven't got enough cows here.
Yep. So here it is. U.S. removes import levy on Israeli milk products. And, of course, you won't get this from the New York Times. This is from the Enet News. which is an Israeli publication. Following diplomatic efforts, President Obama signs memo eliminating import subcharge on dairy products from Israel.
Well, and if it's good Israeli cheese or something like that, I don't have a problem with it. But
well, it's
why
also
are we,
cheese. It's also cheese. It's milk and
well,
milk
cheese
products.
Is fine. I don't have a problem with it. But don't you think there's a public health issue here when you have to pump a bunch of milk into a giant ship as though it was oil and then haul it across the ocean and then bottle it in the United States and drink this? God knows how. I mean, do you have to? What do you, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's pandering to the Israelis, of course.
Well, maybe.
It's following diplomatic efforts. Does that headline not say at all? Diplomatic efforts. Up to now, most of the world's countries exporting milk products to the United States have been forced to pay a levy protecting local production. In fact, French cheese for a while, Camembert was rumored to go up to like 300% import tax. But literally, this comes out on the 22nd, this news report. And then in USA Today, that report was on the... Hold on. It's just loading here for a second. I think that
well,
was...
While you're loading that, yeah. I'll mention that there seems to be a public relations battle going on between two camps of the various Jewish lobbies. One pro-Israel and one anti-Israel. And we're getting a lot of Israeli news, pro and con, based on the fact that some... And it's all from these promotional, these PR companies that are, one of them's trying to, you know, get kind of divorce ourselves from Israel and the other one trying to bring the U.S.-Israel relationship closer together. So we're going to be getting a lot more, so people out there can look for a lot more kind of contradictory news and information about Israel.
Well, and of course, you couldn't think at all that Rahm Emanuel would have anything to do with it. Here it is, the story on the 24th, 2 days later. Milk prices have plunged by about 50% from the historic highs of last summer, pummeling producers such as Walt Moore, a fourth-generation farmer. So farmers now actually selling their cows for slaughter, which really decimates the entire milk-producing industry when you sell your cow. It's also sad. I mean, these farmers are crying. They've had Bessie for a million years.
It's not like they can't get more cows, but Rahm Emanuel is not known as a pro-Israel guy.
Oh, I beg to differ on that.
I think if you start looking into it, you're going to find out that he's one of these anti-Israel types.
So, forget Rahm Emanuel. So just listen to the way the U.S. is programmed. So in U.S., we just told you one of the main reasons why these prices fell. Okay, that's very simple economics. USA Today, however, right, which is I think number two now behind the Wall Street Journal, which is the new USA Today. We've already discussed that. So here it is: why prices are falling. Subhead: there are several reasons for the implosion. Oversupply, falling export demand, and continued high prices for supplies such as feed. Bullshit. Not one mention of the removal of the levy on Israeli dairy products. Not one mention. So, well, you know, this is,
well,
this
they
is
should
how
have,
we're
I
programmed.
Don't, I don't think the Israeli embargo, or not embargo, but the tariff lifting is can attribute to a mass amount of Israeli milk coming into the country.
No, but it can attribute
but
to milk
be,
prices
right,
changing.
It should be mentioned.
It not only should it be mentioned, but, you know, milk prices are set by, are not set by the producers, they're set by the distributors. They're set by Walgreens and the big box supermarket chains. They basically say, hey, farmer, I'm going to pay you this much for your milk today. And they all collude. It's a huge, what's the word I'm looking for when it's anti-competitive?
Scam.
Scam. So they basically see, oh, hey, we can get our milk cheap from Israel. Screw that. You know, screw you, farmers. We're not going to pay you anymore. And then the prices tumble, and then Israel ships that shit in.
So the dairy that should be mentioned is up in near Port Angeles, Washington, where our executive producer is, called the Dungeness Valley Creamery. And there you can get raw milk by the gallon for $6.50 at the dairy. It's a little more when it's outside of town, but...
And you drink that religiously, right?
Oh, this stuff's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, just a one. There's just a couple more things, John. There's just so much, and we never get back to all the good stuff. I'm sure you heard about the asteroid exploding above Indonesia.
Actually, no.
A 10-meter-wide asteroid exploded in the atmosphere with the force of a small atomic bomb above Indonesia. It was so, the force was so large, it actually set off, triggered the infrasound sensors of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization more than 10,000 kilometers away. It's a huge explosion. If this thing had actually hit and had not blown up in the atmosphere, it could have wiped out an entire city. There must not be a movie in the making. That's why they didn't report it, because usually this stuff is really good to promote your movie. But I think they could have used it for 2012. Asteroid that caused the blast was not known before it hit and took astronomers completely by surprise.
Oops.
According to statistical studies of the near-Earth asteroid population, such objects are expected to collide with the Earth on average every 2 to 12 years. But that's a pretty sizable little explosion there that we didn't hear about.
Three Hiroshima bombs.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they equate to.
And I'm looking at the coverage of this thing, by the way, and the reason I probably didn't hear about it, the Baltimore Sun had a thing, and here's interesting. You know, they have on Google News, they have the number of articles that people, you know, how many papers are running it. With the asteroid with the energy of three Hiroshima bombs explodes over Indonesia, highlighted by the Belfast Telegraph, there's 16 news articles about it gathering, and then there's three news articles under meteor hits above Indonesia. Now, if you go to Google News and look at the, I can just grab anything at random, like Motorola's profits, 1,500 articles.
How about Balloon Boy?
Let's go to the big one. Michael Jackson's This Is It banks $2.2 million on premiere night. 5,016 articles on it.
Yeah, of course. That's what's really important. To the people who are still asleep, but slowly, awakening.
Yeah, we can still go one step further. If you're going to talk about sports, Game 1 of the World Series is a rating hit. 11,244 articles. So,
okay.
Obviously, we're not getting the news. If you look at it, if you start just looking at the numbers, it's all about there's no news. It's not about news. The World Series is a sports story. It's not news.
A lethal combination of rock-bottom prices combined with a spike in the potency and availability of heroin on Massachusetts streets has led to a startling increase in the number of heroin-related deaths in the recent years. This report comes from thebostonchannel.com. Of course, if you listen to this program, you know that the reason why we're in Afghanistan is actually to run the drugs on military transport back to the United States, distribute it to our children, high quality, low prices, kill everyone, get them hooked on crap. And of course, the first DEA agents to be in Afghanistan who are supposed to be stopping the flow of drugs were killed in a helicopter crash a couple days ago. Three Drug Enforcement Administration special agents were among the dead of the...
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
I guess they weren't playing ball.
Coincidence? I think not!
And, of course, more pictures, which I'll put into the show notes at noagendashow.com, of the coalition troops, which, of course, is mainly U.S. troops, actually patrolling through the poppy fields, not burning them, not stopping them. You know, can anyone see the picture? The CIA pays Karzai. Karzai makes sure it gets all shipped out. We're bringing in more troops for the harvest so we can bring it all back to the United States. And it all just keeps flowing around. It's God. It's gold, oil, and drugs, my friend.
And our great General McChrystal, who apparently gets up at 4 in the morning because he can't sleep. I guess he has the jitters. goes jogging every morning at that hour. By the way, and he's the one who's requiring that we get more troops so they can protect the hop, the poppy fields. Now, the funny thing about the two DEA guys, who
three,
obviously...
Three DEA guys.
What a coincidence. I guess, like I said, they didn't want to play ball. Do you think the next DEA guys that are coming over there to look things over are going to be a little more amenable?
Oh, dude. I'd be like, hey!
I don't see nothing.
I don't see anything.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
All right. And that's what's going on in your world, people.
NoAgendaShow.com.
Or Dvorak.org/NA to donate as well. We need all the help we can get. And something's got to happen in the new year.
We always have good stuff on the show.
I think we do pretty good.
Yeah, well, we do well.
Yes, I think we do pretty well. All right, so Sunday we're on as scheduled, the Church of No Agenda.
Yeah.
Are you going up to, were you going up to Washington?
Yeah, well, I've got just a stopover on my way to Canada. I'm going to be up in Edmonton.
By the way, those helicopters went down due to unconfirmed reasons.
Oh, okay. Unconfirmed reasons.
Unconfirmed reasons. I'm a helicopter pilot, by the way. Oh, there's one more thing I want. There's so much more good stuff. Those Northwest pilots that overshot their destination. Yeah. That thing stinks. That whole story stinks. They were looking at their laptops. Bullshit.
Something
happened there that we don't know, and I don't have the information yet. I'd love to hear the air traffic control trying to raise them for over an hour and not getting any response because on their laptops. Look, I've flown a lot, and I've flown big birds, little birds, whirly birds, you name it. That's bullshit. That is just bullshit. There's a cover-up of something going on there.
Well, they fired him.
Yeah. They'll have a book deal before you know it.
Well, we'll see. But why don't you look into it? Maybe there's a scandal here. Because, you know, everyone just assumed they fell asleep. But, you know...
And of course, everyone's like, oh, I don't want to fly with Northwest. Oh, you should be flying the plane. Now, believe me, that is just not possible that they were looking at their laptops and weren't listening to ATC. It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Well, the story has already changed too many times.
Yeah. There's something going on.
It started off as there was a heated debate.
Oh, please. Coming to you from the minimum containment cell housing the Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California, I'm Adam Curry.
And from an area where there's no bridge, because they can't seem to keep these things together, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Sunday right here on No Agenda.